because we are living in a chemical world, and I'm a chemical nondescript person. We are living in a chemical world, and I am a chemical.
Good afternoon, and welcome to Chemical World. I am Kenna Crampton, and I am joined in studio with Muggsy Fay.
Hi, I'm Muggsy Fay, Maggie Muggsy Fay, Saldine, whatever you want to call me. Just don't call me late for breakfast. I don't know. Sorry. Founder, director of High Rockies Harm Reduction and KDNK board member. So happy to be here with you today, Kenna.
Thank you. Happy to be here with you. So this is our May episode. And I don't know, you maybe had a plan, but I did want to just, we kind of rushed through a few of the legislation that was going through, and I just didn't know if there was anything you wanted to talk about with that before we get started, because I felt like we kind of had to rush through it at the end of last episode.
Yeah, legislative session is still shaking out, and right. I will admit that I'm not 100% sure where we're at with all of those bills, but just to kind of go back to April's episode, because I know, yeah, we talked a lot about membership drive in April, and we had a hugely successful membership drive.
Of course, so thank you to all you members.
Yeah, I wanted to do a quick shout out to all of our amazing members, donors, supporters, listeners, and of course the fantastic staff and volunteers here at KDNK. Algorithm free and owner operated, because all of us members here are the owners of KDNK. So we had a great membership drive, super excited for that, and we'll be having lots of events this summer as always. But we talked a lot last month too about some of the cool legislation happening in Colorado. There's a few bills that have been rolling through the Capitol, and most of which I believe are awaiting governor signatures at this point. There was a great bill that was really pushed by some students out of Durango to allow students to carry naloxone on school campuses. Of course, we have gotten naloxone, the opioid overdose reversing medication, into a lot of our high schools and even some of our middle schools and many of our colleges across Western Colorado. But laws in schools are a little different. To make it simple, I always tell people, like, schools are kind of like little Vaticans. They're like little laws unto themselves, right? And so, and we know, like, in restaurants and stuff, right, like, you can't give someone ibuprofen. There's a lot of weird regulations with what you can actually, like, administer and carry as an individual. So it's totally safe and legal for schools to have Narcan or naloxone on site, and many of them do in the offices and or at nursing stations, and many staff and students have been trained on how to use it and where to find it. If you're out in Eagle County, most AEDs have it, and most of our schools have it. But to actually allow students to legally carry it on their person, I will say that we really haven't had to make that an issue here locally, whereas the Durango School Board was kind of creating some unnecessary problems over the past year or two, hence the students taking this to the Capitol to just basically put it in law that if anyone is trying to oppose this, students are able to carry naloxone on campus. So that's very exciting.
Yeah, so exciting and so cool that those kids took it upon themselves to change the law.
Yeah, and like I always say, is but another great example of, you know, if you want to do this work, if you're passionate about something, the best way to get involved is literally just to get out there and do it. Reach out to other folks that you know are already doing it. I, of course, am always happy to take student interviews and work with folks who are interested in learning more and getting involved, whether it's here in the Roaring Fork Valley or if it's out in Maine or Oklahoma or Hawaii. I try to support wherever I can.
And chances are that there's probably some kind of syringe service that you can volunteer for. If you reach out to Maggie, she can help you find those.
Absolutely. Sure. Yeah.
In your area if you're not here.
Yeah.
If you want to volunteer, though, you can go to MaggieSaldine@HighRockiesHarmReduction.com.
Yeah, it's Maggie at HighRockiesHarmReduction.com. Oh. But you can also go to HighRockiesHarmReduction.com, find out more, find my contact info, all that good stuff. No, you're good. We're pre-recording, and it's too early for me to remember fancy words like my email address. But I wanted to just add, there's another great bill that's been being worked on in Capitol Hill that's just more about expanding what syringe service programs are able to do. a little brief history. You know, we used to call them needle exchanges, and we don't really call them that anymore because that suggests that, you know, you give me one dirty syringe and I give you one clean one. And we're only going to give you the equivalent amount of what you bring in, which is not how we do things in Colorado. It's need-based distribution, meaning if you come to me and you say, hey, I'm picking up for a house of 10 people, I'll give you whatever you and your team need. But even syringe services is kind of a misnomer because we do so much more than syringes. Mm-hmm. And syringes are a very small part of what we do. And when it does come to syringes, we support people who have diabetes, who are doing hormone injections, who are doing supplement injections, people who are injecting drugs of all kinds. So the syringe services is really a super small piece of what we do and isn't the traditional, like, heroin needle exchange that people might automatically think of. We do a lot more, and specifically in our communities, we provide supplies for safe snorting and safe smoking, because very few people realize that you can transmit bloodborne pathogens such as HIV and hepatitis through openings or sores in your mouth and nose. And, you know, just reducing the harm from sticking something like a nasty dollar bill up your nose or an old broken pipe or whatever. So we provide all sorts of supplies, as also, you know, hygiene supplies, wound care supplies, Band-Aids, of course, free naloxone, fentanyl test strips, things like that. And so this new legislation would make it so that anything that comes out of our office or our services, basically, including pipes, including straws, including foil, anything like that, would all be protected under the paraphernalia laws for syringe service program participants.
Awesome.
So yeah, to clarify again, to say it another way, that law would allow folks who are registered with programs like High Rockies Harm Reduction or the Colorado Health Network or the Harm Reduction Action Center to have protection from paraphernalia charges for basically any sort of what could be considered drug paraphernalia.
And you would want to obviously be like, hey, I have stuff on me, before they even start searching you, probably.
Yeah.
And I assume that that's probably the safe thing to do.
That is always the safe thing to do. You know, it's hard because you have to sometimes go through.
You never know who you're dealing with.
Exactly. You have to sometimes go through it. And I tell folks, you know, if you get ticketed for something like this, if you are getting harassed for having naloxone or for using naloxone, please call me and we can work to prevent tickets like that from going to trial. But sometimes you do have to just like go through the motions of like getting a ticket or getting arrested or dealing with that, even if you know in your heart that the officer is operating against what the law is, unfortunately, they will just do whatever sometimes. So just call me if that happens.
And that's obviously a pain on its own. But what I want to say really is, obviously, syringe service, you provide clean paraphernalia. But what I think is probably the most effective and the like coolest thing that syringe services do is it's just a non-judgmental place for people to go and not be judged by people who maybe aren't also using drugs. But because I think that it pretty much feels like if you're not taking drugs, then you're judging me. And that's how I think pretty much all addicts feel. And you can feel it when you tell people that you don't drink and they drink and they're like, well, I've been thinking about getting sober. And you're like, I really don't care. And I don't want to judge you. I don't judge anybody for anything that they do. And I think that is what is the most important thing, is that it's a zero judgment place where you can go and just talk to people about where you're at. And I think that that's really the only one of the best ways to even begin to start even thinking about cleaning up, because it's not even about getting sober.
Absolutely. And I think that that
is... You don't
is...
have to be sober to keep your community clean.
Exactly. Yeah. If you've ever listened to Chemical or before. No, and I agree that to me that is like really the most important service that we provide. And the biggest thing that our communities have been missing is how to not only work with somebody who is actively using drugs and support them through that, but like love them and give them whatever they need. No judgment. I rarely even talk to people about their substance use unless that's something they want to talk about. It's just about getting you whatever you need to stay safe and no judgments, because we all need different things.
And that's what's going to keep addicts from doing the things that are bad. You know, it's like taking drugs isn't inherently bad. It's when you start stealing from your family and lying and all of those things. And the only reason people do that is because of shame, not having access, you know, those are the issues. It's not taking the drugs. I mean, of course, taking the drugs is also an issue too.
No, I totally agree.
But yeah, I mean, it's like that's, you know, I don't know. Yeah, it's such an important service beyond giving, you know, out free supplies.
Yeah, the free supplies are just like the enticement that we get you in so that we can then just like wrap our arms around you.
Yeah.
Metaphorically, we don't have to touch you if you're not comfortable with that, but will
hug you.
But if
you need it, then they're there. And I think it's really about human connection. And that's something that I keep reminding, like, I love so much. And you've said it. You're the one who's said this, and we've said it here before, but the opposite of addiction isn't sobriety, it's connection. And I just think that's so important to remember, because it's that connection with people that really keeps us going. We need that connection. I know it's hard to remember that when you feel connected to people through your phone and you're talking to these people on the other side of the world, which is so freaking cool too, but you have to have that face-to-face connection, and it's really important. So thank you.
Yeah, no, thank you so much for saying all that. And I wanted to just add to that by saying, you know, we're really changing the language about how we talk about drug addiction and drug use, because like the term drug abuse is really wrong when we think about where else we use that term, you know, in like elder abuse or spousal abuse or child abuse. Yeah. These are like really serious, violent offenses. Mm-hmm. Drug abuse is, again, kind of a misnomer, because you're not hurting anyone except for potentially your own body by mm-hmm. taking drugs, and maybe not even that. But then like burglary or trespassing or arson or harassment or whatever, these are different charges. These are different crimes, right? And they may or may not be related to the drug use. And it's interesting how quick we are in our culture to be like, is that person on drugs? Mm-hmm. When the reality is that dead sober neurodivergence is actually what causes some of the like scariest crime. People with mental health issues, people who use substances, are not by nature violent criminals. And to your point about, you know, to put it in a different way, for me, and I think about this a lot, and I was just telling somebody this the other day, it's like we force people into being liars mm-hmm. because we don't have a strength-based approach to care. So when somebody comes into a clinic, it's not, oh my God, you showed up today. That's amazing. Oh my God, you're showering and you're eating and you're getting to your appointments on time. It's, well, you just peed hot for multiple substances. So now we're going to reduce your medication dosage, or we're going to restrict your medication dosage and send you into withdrawals and send you back onto the street to use. And now you're not going to feel safe telling me about what you're doing. Yeah. So how can I provide you effective care? And it's funny, because the way it was originally, like this kind of concept originally really sank in for me, was hearing a woman who was, you know, in her 70s or 80s, talking about her husband who had passed decades ago, and how he didn't let her, quote unquote, he wouldn't let her drink soda or eat candy or whatever the things were. There was a lot of things that he didn't want her doing, right? But it's not like she didn't do those things. And she said mm-hmm. that to me. She said, he made a liar out of me.
Yeah.
It takes two to tango. But I just always thought that was really interesting. And I've really noticed that too, because, you know, I always recommend reading Carl Hart's book, High Price, because it really helped me separate the stereotypical beliefs that I held about drug users from my actual firsthand experience with drug users mm-hmm. and realizing how those two things really didn't line up. And then specifically when we get to the propaganda and stereotypes that people who use opioids or heroin are liars, are thieves, or whatever, because we've criminalized their behavior on one hand, right? On one, out of one side of our mouth, using opioids is illegal, it's despicable, it's, you know, leads to criminal lifestyle. But then on the other, out of the other side of our mouth, it's the only treatment for pain, right?
Uh-huh.
So
yeah.
It's also a legally prescribed medication. Fentanyl is used in hospitals, like probably right now, 100 people at Valley View are getting fentanyl. So mm-hmm.
They offered it to me when I was giving birth.
Yeah, that's very common. And this is also why we know that naloxone is super safe in infants, because they give women fentanyl during childbirth and then they give naloxone to the infants, which I argue is really bad for neurological development to even activate those receptors, but also like it's hard because, you know, we think, I'm going to talk about this in a minute, the way that we think about fentanyl on the street is this is a very dangerous, very lethal drug, but it's actually like super great and safe for clinical medicine because it works so fast and it's so strong and we have naloxone. So if something goes wrong, we can reverse its effects right away. So it has like all drugs, a ton of benefit in medicine when that's like supervised and distributed in the right dosage, right? But the way our drug system works, it's really, I want to interject myself. I'm going to interrupt myself to say, I heard that they're actually talking about rescheduling cannabis to schedule three. And I'm like, that's cool. I can't believe that we're still even dealing with this system at all.
And it's even scheduled at all.
Well, and I think the fact that, and we've talked about this to death for sure, but the fact that you have marijuana, LSD, psilocybin, peyote as your most dangerous and addictive drugs at the very top of the scheduling system, like, it's like the food pyramid kind of thing. It's like, this is upside down to me. Yeah. And we, you know, GHB is schedule three. Methamphetamine is, I think, schedule two. Like, it just, it's completely backwards. And now, especially in Colorado, like, we're in complete opposition to what the federal government is saying. But it is very cool to see changes in how cannabis is federally prosecuted. And it's baby steps.
Yeah, baby steps. Because I'm paying attention, I just wanted to let you all know that this is Chemical World. You're listening to Katie and Kay. And this is Maggie Seldine and Kenna Crampton. We're chatting about addiction and drugs and all of the fun things, really.
All the chemicals. And so today, I believe, is Monday, May 13th. So unfortunately, we're on kind of a weird backwards schedule and with what Hierarchy's Harm Reduction does. So y'all may have already missed it, but I do want to make sure everyone knows that on second Fridays, we are doing harm reduction programming. So syringes, disposal, safe use supplies, naloxone, test strips, peer support, a place to just come say hi, talk to somebody. If you have questions about drugs, if you have questions about what's going on in the street supply, you can always reach out to me at maggie@hierarchiesharmreduction.com or follow us on social media. DM me, text me, email is always best. But we're also doing our services in Basalt and Carbondale every second Friday. So every second Friday, we're at Mid Valley Family Practice from 12 to 2, and then at 3rd Street Center from 4 to 6. We're just out in the parking lot. Please come find us. And we're also super excited. We're going to be rolling out an all recovery support group. So we're starting with just once a month, which I know isn't a lot, but we're working on it. So every first Thursday, we're going to be hosting an all recovery support group at 6 p.m. at a spiritual center, or I think Suite 31 in 3rd Street Center.
Okay.
So again, we'll have that stuff up on our website and on our online calendar. But that the first one is going to be June 6th at 6, and we will be doing it on the 4th of July as well to give folks a place to be on the 4th of July if you don't want to be out partying, if you just want to come and talk about whatever.
Cool.
These are open, non-denominational, and not based in any specific recovery model, but just a place to come and talk about what recovery means. And I wanted to add, kind of jumping ahead, that I'm actually presenting on recovery does not mean sobriety at the Faces and Voices of Recovery Leadership Summit in Denver at the beginning of June. So maybe not super relevant to our folks, but I'm very excited to be taking this message of recovery does not mean sobriety to like the national and state level.
Ah, so cool. So I just want to be clear. So you're at the 3rd Street Center right now because we pre-recorded this episode and you said that you'll be at the 3rd Street Center Monday from 4 to 6.
Sorry, second Fridays.
Say
Monday?
I'm so sorry.
It's okay. I'm hoping I didn't say Monday before.
Okay. So
I said today is Monday the 13th, right?
I think I got confused. So again, in case anyone else did and I just confused you even more, that's second Fridays you'll be at the 3rd Street Center from 4 to 6 p.m. and then Mid Valley Practice from 12 to 2.
Yeah, so sorry if you just missed us, but we'll be back again next month for sure. And last week was also National Fentanyl Awareness Day on May 7th, so last Tuesday. So you also may have seen I have a letter to the editor in the Sober Sun this week, as well as out in like the Vail Daily and some other communities. And I really just wanted to take this opportunity for National Fentanyl Awareness Day to really emphasize again, and you can find, you know, my letters to the editor online, but just the risks about fentanyl contamination. And I want to kind of just say a couple quick things on this. We never know what's in street drugs, period. I don't care if it's a pill, a powder, a crystal shard, or even a bag of flour. If it's bought on the streets illegally, we don't really know what's in it. And it's next to impossible to really prove what's in it without sending it off to like a law enforcement laboratory or some sort of drug testing facility to check that. So we are hoping to still, you know, access more comprehensive drug checking materials and programming in the future. But I really just want to emphasize that there can be fentanyl in cocaine, methamphetamine, and MDMA. And we have fentanyl test strips that we're giving out for free. But again, they only test for fentanyl. And I really just wanted to emphasize that very few people seem to understand how fentanyl test strips work. So yes, we will give them out to you for free, but they don't work. Like, they do not work very well. So we're probably going to move away from carrying them at all, because I do think they carry more of a risk than a benefit, which I've kind of been talking about this for a long time. But what I really wanted to emphasize is you need more water to test methamphetamine and MDMA. So if you're getting a positive fentanyl test from an MDMA or meth sample, are you using enough water? Because you have to use a half cup or a cup of water to test meth and MDMA. It has a higher false positive rate, whereas other drugs, you're supposed to use like a half teaspoon of water to test. Here's another caveat issue is cocaine can easily be contaminated with meth or MDMA. So basically, like, the testing methods that we have to use the fentanyl test strips are wonky at best, because we have no idea what it is that we're testing. Because you might think you have cocaine, but it's actually ketamine. You might think you have ketamine, but it's actually MDMA. You might think you have cocaine, but it's a mix of methamphetamine, ketamine, and MDMA. Who knows what, right? So we have the strips. We encourage folks to give them a try, but we encourage folks to use them multiple times, test over and over again. And really, at the end of the day, the best thing to do to keep each other safe is to always have naloxone and be prepared to respond. Try not to use alone whatever it is you're using, because we just never know.
Thank you. That's really good. And again, I just think it's so cool too that there's this service. If you are alone, you can call Never Use Alone, right? Isn't that what's the number?
Yeah. I don't know the number off the top of my head.
Sorry.
No, it's okay.
I always do this to you.
Well, because it's like a long hotline number. It's not like 1-888 Never Use Alone. But the Never Use Alone hotlines are great. And if you Google or type in your phone Never Use Alone, there's
You'll
an
find.
English and a Spanish hotline. We have it on the back of our brochures. So that information is also up on our website. And yeah, if you are using alone, whether it's cocaine, meth, MDMA, heroin, pills, whatever the case may be, you can call this hotline. And if you do become unresponsive, and you know, you can just have them on speakerphone. They're a nonprofit. They're volunteer run. So they have a couple employees, but they're super amazing folks. You can just put them on speakerphone, do your thing, and if for some reason you become unresponsive, they can report that for you and you can get help.
It's so cool, because it is. That's really the only way to be safe, like you said. Like, yeah, I just think that's really important to get out there, because, yeah, you might feel like you're being safe because you're testing your drugs and you might not be. It's so hard to tell.
And carrying naloxone doesn't mean that you yourself use drugs, although, you know, there's a lot of resistance to that, although we all use drugs. And, you know, sure, caffeine has less negative effects than nicotine, and nicotine has less negative effects than methamphetamine. But we're a drug-based culture and a drug-based society, and if we can undo, you know, that my drug is better than yours mentality, it would do us a world of good. But carrying naloxone is not about what you personally do. It's about being prepared to provide the appropriate first aid in case of an emergency for someone else, right?
Yeah.
So if you don't use drugs, great. You are the perfect candidate to carry naloxone, because the rest of us out here need you to look out for us.
Totally. So we are getting close to wrapping up. Is there anything else that you want to say?
Yeah, I just have one more update. Mm-hmm. So next Monday, the 20th of May, I will be hosting another free Narcan training at Carbondale Beer Works at 11 a.m. This is designed for service industry workers as we get into the summer and everyone gets fully staffed up. But this is, you know, quite the offering. I do get requested to provide this training and generally, you know, get paid to provide this training all over the state and for a variety of folks. But it's really important to me to get this message to our service industry and resort staff here locally. And if we can, you know, if we're here in Carbondale, we can have service industry workers from Vail to Aspen probably. So just wanted to let y'all know about that. You can find more information on Instagram if you find at highrockiesharmreduction.com or either. That was a mix of the two things, the social, and that's also our website. And you can find more at both. And May 20th, Monday at 11 a.m., we will be doing another free Narcan training at Beer Works. So you can reach out with questions or we hope to see you there.
Awesome. Well, yeah, that's really exciting. And there's, you know, a big part of what we're trying to do here is to just change people's minds and destigmatize how people feel about addicts and people who use, because there's absolutely nothing wrong with it.
And yeah, destigmatizing our own use. And it's okay. You know, we all, and we've talked about this before too, addiction's not just substances, it's shopping, it's exercise, it's eating, it's undereating, overeating. You know, we all have our thing that we're not the most proud of, but it's okay. We're all humans and we're all living under a lot of stress and pressure all the time, and good things and bad things. So it's okay to utilize substances to help a little bit, and you're not alone. Mm-hmm. One final thing, we're always looking for more volunteers, whether that's tabling, board members, advisory board members. If you're interested in getting involved with High Rockies Harm Reduction or, like we said, programs in other communities or states, please reach out to me, Maggie, at highrockiesharmreduction.com or at High Rockies Harm Reduction on Instagram and Facebook.
Awesome. All right. Well, we're going to go ahead and wrap up. Thank you so much for listening. This has been Chemical World on KDNK. We will be back next month, the second Monday, June 10th at 4:30 p.m. And to listen to past episodes, you can go to kdnk.org or wherever you listen to podcasts. And I don't think I have anything else to say. You just remember,
you don't have to be sober
to keep your community clean.
Yay, love you guys. Happy Monday.
Yay.
We are living in a chemical world, and I'm a chemical nondescript person. We are living in a chemical world, and I am a chemical girl. We are living in a chemical world, and I am a chemical girl or boy. We are living in a chemical world.